We're talking about the life and times of Mickey Rooney, who passed on Sunday. This is a New York Times obituary, and Jerry Pippin will join us in a minute here. Mickey Rooney, the Times called exuberant entertainer who led a roller coaster life, the world's top box office star at 19, as irresponsible and Andy Hardy, bankrupt, has been in his 40s, a comeback kid on Broadway. As he neared 60, died on Sunday. He was 93. He lived in Westlake Village, California. His death was confirmed by his son, Michael Joseph Rooney. He stood only a few inches taller than 5 feet, but Rooney was larger and louder than life. From the moment he toddled onto a burlesque stage at 17 months, to his movie debut at 6, to his career-crowning Broadway debut in Sugar Babies at 59, beyond, he did it all. He could act, he could sing, he could dance, he could play piano, drums, and before he was out of short pants, he could cry on cue. As Andy Hardy, he grew up in the idolized fictional town of Carville. Mr. Rooney was the most famous teenager in America from 1937 to 1944, everybody, Cheeky's son, our young brother, energetic, in love with girls and cars, the 15 Hardy family movies in which all the problems could be solved by Andy's man-to-man talks with his father, Judge Hardy, played by Louis Stone, earned more than $75 million, a lot of money in those days, a huge sum during the Depression years, when tickets rarely cost more than 25 cents. In 1939, American theater owners voted Rooney the number one box office star over Tyrone Powell. The same year, he sung and danced his way to an Oscar for the best actor in Babies in Arms, the first of the Hey Kids, Let's Put on a Show, MGM musical he made with Judy Garland. He was box office king again in the 40s over Spencer Tracy, and in 41 with Clark Gable taking second place. 3 years early in the New York Times, Frank Nugent had written Mr. Rooney's performance as the swaggering bully redeemed by Tracy's father Flanagan in Boys Town. Mickey is the dead-end gang ran into one. He's Jimmy Cagney, Humphrey Bogart, and King Kong. Before they grew up and knew a restraining hand, Mickey, as the French would understate it, is the original enfant terror. Mr. Rooney's personal life was dynamic as his screen presence. He married 8 times. He earned $12 million before he was 40. Spent more, impulsive, reckless, extravagant, addicted to playing the ponies and shooting craps. He attacked life as though it were a 6-course dinner. Movie audiences first saw him as Mickey McGirt, a tough kid in a battered derby hat, in a series of two-reel shorts based on the comic strip Tuberville Trolleys. The first short in which he had a starring role, Mickey's Circus, was thought to be lost, but a print was found along with many other silent films in the Netherlands this year. At 13, he auditioned for the role of Mistress Spite Punk in the great Austrian producer-director Max Reinhardt's 1943 Hollywood Bowl production of A Midsummer Night's Dream. Though unfamiliar with Shakespeare, Rooney impressed Reinhardt, who cast him in the play along with James Cagney, Dick Powell, Olivia de Havilland. In the movie version, he directed with William Dreisler a year later. He was sensational. Rooney seemed inhuman. He moved like mist or water. His body was vanished by extraordinary light and in laughter and ghostly enchanting. David Thomas wrote of Rooney's performance in the Biographical Dictionary of Film. Could such a performance have been directed? Rooney's punk is truly inhuman, one of the cinema's most arresting pieces of magic. Between 1936 and 1944, Mr. Rooney had more than three dozen movies on the contract at MGM. He brought variety even to parts like The Brooklyn Shine Boy, Little Lord Fauntleroy. In 1936, the kid brother in the movie version of Eugene O'Neill's Wilderness. A young deckhand on a fish boat in Captain Courageous, that was 1937. Along with Diane Devlin, Mr. Rooney was given a special Academy Award in 1939 for bringing to the scene the spirit and personification of youth. The next year, he received his Oscar, Baby in Arms. Move on a little bit here. A career of ups and downs, although his career was one of the longest in show business. About 90 years separated his first movie from his last. He married in haste. He wed Ms. Birmingham in 1944 after knowing her less than 2 weeks. And he turned his back on MGM, the studio that made him a star. And from Mirage of running his own production company and ended up marred in debt and B-movies. Suits for alimony, child support, back taxes pursued him. When he needed money more desperately, he could always play Vegas. I was a slash hit at the Riviera where I drew $17,500 a week. And lost twice that on the craps table. Oh boy. Not included in Mr. Rooney's shorts. Mr. Rooney made more than 200 movies, earned a total of 5 Academy Award nominations. He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor at the Fast Talking Soldier Who Died Trying to Protect the 30,000 he won in the crap game, The Bold and the Brave in 1956. As a trainer of a wild Arabian horse in Black Stallion, 1979. Because of his size, Rooney played lots of jockeys. As his waistband expanded, former jockeys who had become trainers. He was a vagabond who helped Elizabeth Taylor turn an unruly horse into a champion in the in her breakthrough movie National Velvet in 1944. He was nominated for 5 Emmy Awards and won one in his performance in the TV series Bill, in a burlesque, of course. And on we go here. His mother turned down an offer from Roach, assistant to try Sony out at $5 a day. In vaudeville, one could always wait for a better offer, but no second offer came. There were too many eager mothers for $5 a day. It was back to Kansas City, then again to Hollywood. Sonny got a job in a musical review for $50 a week. Marvelous for a five-year-old. A few weeks later was Mickey Rooney McGirt at $250 each. And let's move on here. It's a very long one. Mr. Rooney was 21 when he married a 19-year-old starlet, Ava Gardner, in 1942. Studio fought the marriage and was equally upset at Mr. Rooney's divorce a year later. Drafted into the Army in 1944, Mr. Rooney met Betty Jane Rush, I guess, an Alabama beauty queen at a party. Mr. Rooney wrote in Life's Too Short, I asked Miss Birmingham if she would like to become Mrs. Mickey Rooney, and she said yes. They divorced in 1949, a third marriage to an actress named Martha Vickers, who had played Lucille Ball's nymphomatic sister in The Big Sleep. Oh, yeah, I remember that one. His Fort White was another beauty queen, Ellen Menken, who later recalled while they were drumming him for bills, he would be out buying two new Jaguars. Mr. Rooney, to the brink of solvency, he warded her by going to Vegas and losing $50,000. Quite a character. Let me skip on down. This is very long, Jerry. Mr. Rooney's later years, his life became more tumultuous. Again, in 2011, he obtained a restraining order against his stepson. In addition, the ups and downs there, he ended up a Christian somewhere in here and got into a church out in the area where he lived in California. That's somewhere in this very long thing. Anyway, we'll go to you, Jerry. That is the obituary from the Times.
I had a long-running acquaintance. He certainly wasn't a friend by any means, but Mickey Rooney and I did several interviews together. And Mickey actually asked me to help him get a gig for his wife, who wanted to be a country music singer. This is his last wife, Jan. And we basically got a chance to hang out with Mickey a little bit, and he was everything that the biography says, and plus more. We actually talked a great deal about his marriage to Ava Gardner, because I always had a crush on her, very sophisticated woman and sexy at the same time. And he was not bashful talking about very intimate details with these stars. And he actually had a lot of charm in getting and winning the hand of beauty queens. And women recognized by everybody far and wide as being beautiful and sexy. And his life, on the personal scale, for as much as I could tell, Mike Korda was his music director and for his Las Vegas shows and a few other things. And Mike and I were very good friends. And that's how I became involved with Mickey Rooney, because Mike was always trying to get Mickey a hit record. And Mickey never could. Mickey tried and tried and tried, and he didn't like Vegas. Now, one of the interesting things about Mickey Rooney is he's everything that the biography says. For instance, I remember one time at the Riviera where he was playing there. After our show, we went up to his hotel room, and I don't know how he had time to get stripped, but he came to the door with Roberta Scott opening the door for me, and he was in a very tight pair of blue jockey shorts. And he says, "Oh, let me change clothes." And then he went away, and he came back with a robe. And as we talked along, he kept opening that robe a little bit, trying to get Roberta's attention. I guess Roberta actually kind of fit the category of women he was used to, because after all, she was Miss Tulsa at one time, and she hadn't had cancer that forced her to withdraw from the beauty pageant circuit. She might have become Miss America. You never know. She later became a very famous touring with USO tours in Vietnam, since she lost her leg due to cancer. And Mickey was very supportive of everybody around him, but he was also, he wore his heart on his sleeve, and if you offended him, he would let you know. And it's very interesting that the gambling and the beautiful women and the drinking and the carousing was embedded in his veins. That was him. And you mentioned the fact that he was having a little trouble with his stepson. Well, he had more than one family member that was trying to cash in on his reputation. And he was quite concerned about that. On one hand, believe it or not, Mickey Rooney wanted to be a nice father, wanted to be a good guy, and known by everybody. as you know, taking care of his family. But like you mentioned, he lost twice his salary one time in a Las Vegas gig, and that seemed to hound Mickey all his life. So he lived a long life, and I think it's interesting if you think something, think about it, that this guy did everything there was that was be against your health, and yet he lived to a ripe old age. And the interesting thing, he was never shy about letting you know he was a star, but at the same time, he was never ever shy about if you were out with him, he'd run up and grab his arm around you and say, "This is my pal Jerry Pippen. He's going to get me a record deal. I was just on his show last night. Everything's going to work great." You know, in other words, he was all pomp and circumstance. He was all public relations all the way. He was inbred with that Hollywood mindset, that Hollywood psyche, and it never left him. So we'll all miss Mickey Rooney. The last time I talked to him on the phone, I think, was 4 or 5 years ago, and he moved up to that Westlake Village, a little area. It was just right on a West Lake, and there's several lakes up there in north of Los Angeles, up towards Santa Barbara, and he moved up there to get away from Hollywood. But he always tried to make sure that he brought Hollywood to his house, and he would go work. In fact, he was always looking for a gig, a week here, a week there, all the time, whether he had a lot of money or he was deeply in debt. It didn't make much difference. He liked to work, and he really liked to have a big paycheck. It was almost like he'd like to take it and frame it and show it to everybody and never cash it. But of course, he had to impress the women and had to drink, and he had, above all, to gamble. Mickey Rooney, quite a guy.
He was indeed quite a guy, Jerry. He they use the term sired 11 kids. So he had quite a
Yeah.
family to think
Everywhere.
about there. And he was working on a movie just last month. With a lady that's also mentioned there, and he was also at one of the parties for older celebrities at the Academy Awards just a few weeks ago. I think Nina and I were talking about that one of those parties. So he was active up till his last days. He was 93 years old, and I guess as you say, he drank, gambled, and done everything that you would think for most people that had been detrimental to their health. They would have died 20 years later. Was he a smoker, Jerry, or do you know?
Yeah, I don't. I think he smoked cigars. I saw
Oh,
him do
right.
that
Okay, I
several
remember
times.
that. Yeah.
One time, to give you a little sidelight to this guy and how much he liked to play the horses, we were at the Desert Inn, and they had the sports book. Of course, he loved to hang around the sports book and bet on all the games, and they had the horse races going on. And he was we had to go down to the sports book so he could watch the horse races while we talked. I mean, he just, I guess he had money riding on, and he basically was chomping on a cigar and being bravado to everyone around him, and it was hard to really get back to business, but he always managed to do it. And he was an interesting guy. He was basically what you saw on television and saw in the movies. That was Mickey Rooney. He was frankly a wise ass kid, even when he was 90.
Was he good at betting the ponies?
I don't know. He won sometimes, sure, but I don't know that he was. He followed them like mad, so he should have been good. He probably had a racing form underneath his pillow.
Probably did. In fact, he also loved to play craps, which is a very interesting game in itself.
Yeah. We've talked about his strategy and craps
What was his
And
strategy,
a
Jerry?
little bit of sidelight. I used to fancy myself as knowing how to play the odds and all that kind of stuff, but Mickey put me to shame. He I don't know if he's good at math ever, but he certainly was when it came to gambling and figuring the odds and what would happen next in a crap game.
Very interesting. What was your method, Jerry, playing craps? I don't play craps.
I was more of a 21 guy. Played 21 mostly.
Okay.
But I would bet with the shooter if they basically were on a roll, and if if some guys were there that were I considered losers, I'd bet with the house.
Oh, okay. And I suppose Rooney did too. He lost some time.
He's quite the guy, interested in psychology at all times. And he, believe it or not, liked country music because he said it gets right down to the raw nerves of relationships. And he'd never sang country, but he was trying to get his wife a job doing that because she was a country girl. You know, she was from Broken Bow, Oklahoma. And how they ever got together, I'm not sure. I think he told me one time, but I don't really remember the story. But he actually went down to this little town down in southeastern Oklahoma, back in basically Hicksville. And I can say that because I'm a native Okie. And he enjoyed just going into this little town and seeing all of Jan's relatives and he liked the adoration of, hey, here comes Mickey Rooney, you know. He never got tired of being the star.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting when you are literally a child star, as he was, and continued to work up into his 80s, actually into his 90s. So
yeah,
that's a long time
life. That was his life.
Yeah, he did plays. He did all kinds of stuff. He could sing, dance. I didn't know he could do the drums, but evidently he also played the drums. I mean, he was, I guess, what you'd call a classic Broadvillian type that could do all of those things. You don't have very many performers these days that sing, dance, play musical instruments all at the same time. They're usually more one-liners, and he could act. So, I mean, he had a lot of qualities you don't have, and he won an Oscar. He won some Emmys. I mean, he had a lot of things on his wall, so to speak, as a performer, and he even played Vegas, and you said he didn't like Vegas, right?
No, I think he liked Vegas okay.
He did? Okay. He didn't like Hollywood.
I just said he lost a lot of money there.
I bet he did, yeah. Yeah, that's a place you could lose a lot of money. In the couple of minutes we got left, Rooney, you interviewed him a number of times. In fact, I heard you interviewing him once over 10 years ago. I believe he was somewhere on the road, and he actually called in to the...
that's right.
To the program, and he was doing some production. It was a stage production.
It was actually a touring Broadway show.
Right.
And he called, I think, about 11 o'clock or when he got back to the hotel after the performance, just before I went off the air for remember one time. But he always he liked to call because he liked the spotlight. He liked the idea that Mickey Rooney could drop in on just anybody on the talk show circuit at any time he wished. In fact, it's very interesting. He wanted to do a talk show.
He did.
He wanted to host a talk show. Mickey Rooney did.
Okay.
And he tried and tried and tried to negotiate something that he thought he could live with, broadcast-wise, payment-wise, and he never could really circumvent the idea that a lot of people... that was the beginning of when the conservative element was really moving into the overall broadcast scene and talk radio. And he wasn't about to let anybody tell him what his view should be on politics or life in general.
Yeah, I can.
He was his own man. When he divorced Ava Gardner, he said the motion picture executives about had a cat.
I would imagine
they had all these dreams of the child star, mirroring the beauty, Ava Gardner, and he said, "Well, we just didn't hit it off. She thought I should come home occasionally," and left.
Well, no doubt, he was his own. He was definitely his own man. And it's interesting he called into your show because we used to tune in, I think, at about 11 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And, you know, your show was not in the top 50, but yet he had the phone number and knew where to call you.
Yeah. Well, part of it's because of the friendship I had with his music director, Mike Korda. And also, we got along with Mickey pretty well.
It sounded like it. I kind of remember that interview. It's been a long, long time ago, but I think basically Rooney said the reason he was out there on there, he needed the money.
Yeah. Well, he was never bashful about why he was doing things. And if he was broke, he'd tell you. If he had a lot of money, he'd tell you.
Yeah, he was evidently one of these upfront people, and probably one of the reasons he lived a very long time. He was a very optimistic fellow.
Yeah, he figured he could do any of that. He got exposed a little bit inside with watching me do talk shows due to my relationship with his music director. And, he just thought he could do it. And I'm sure he could. He would have been a great host.
I think he could. It's unfortunate you didn't have him on as a guest a couple of times, and he would have had, then he had, some audition tape to show what he could actually do.
Well, he didn't figure he needed an audition tape. He figured he's Mickey Rooney, they ought to hire him.
Well, that probably was one place that he perhaps erred. Anyway, Jerry, it's good to talk to you about the life and time of Mickey Rooney, dead at 93.
We'll miss him.
Very good.
I can get this all straightened out. Miss Kilgallen wanted to know if you could be described as a comedian.
I've surely been surely both. I've surely been both sort of a and kind of a sort of other thing.
Yes, there is. Yes. Could Mickey, now that they're completely unblindfolded, will you talk to them again the way you were so you can see how it's done?
Well, I just wanted to tell you.
Thank you very much for having had me here. Thanks, John. Very kindly. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for having had me on your program. And incidentally, I hope that you will watch, all of you, the George M. Cohan story for Swift and Company on Saturday night, May the 11th. Because we're going to be doing our best on I shouldn't mention the network, but the initials are NBC.
Oh, well, as long as you don't mention it out loud, it'll be fine.
For years before coming forward last month.
Even when I tried to speak up, I was told to shut up.
He danced the whole night through. Good morning to you.
Rooney's dancing and singing and effervescent characters delighted viewers for decades, made more than 200 movies. But in February, the frail Californian obtained a temporary restraining order against his 52-year-old stepson, complaining that the son of his eighth and current wife had, quote, taken control of Mickey's personal and financial affairs and was verbally abusive, depriving him of medicine and food, even confiscating his identification to prevent him from traveling.
I was eventually and completely stripped of the ability to make even the most basic decisions.
His stepson denies the allegations, but Rooney's story is far from unique.
I am here today because it's so important that I share my story with others.
It's estimated that between 700,000 and 3.5 million older Americans are abused, neglected.
Everything you heard me say today was real.
And he hopes other seniors will not wait as long as he did.
They are.
Huh? We certainly are.
Mason wanted Mickey to be in Heaven Can Wait. I tried to talk Mickey into doing that movie, another story about Dances with Wolves. You wouldn't take that either. And Kevin
Costner.
Kevin Costner, whom we met.
But nobody mentioned money.
Uh-huh.
Nobody mentioned money.
Well, it doesn't matter because he was going to.
Doesn't matter. Isn't that the business we're in, Jan?
Yes, but he would have given you a good amount. I know he would.
Well, but he didn't say.
I begged Mickey to take that part. I said, someday, I said, that's going to be a classic movie.
Oh, don't.
They wanted Mickey to be in Cocoon for the
Wilford
Brimley
part.
And
another movie he gave up. Oh, the list goes on and on.
Oh, stop!
The list goes on.
But no,
on,
I just,
and
you know
on.
Make a big deal out of it. This is this. Don't move.
Okay.
Ow.
No, oh my God!
Go right by you, like this.
And that's how Cagney did it.
Them.
Yes. Yeah, that's great.
My cousin works there, and he's trying to help all.
Well,
the
is fans. He in the zoo?
They
flying the bar?
Well, they have that new penguin there now.
Well, that's
oh,
true.
Don't get him started, please. Right? Why do you do this?
Hey, Mickey. So, but Mickey, how about if we go to the
Frank Sinatra?
Wolfgang Puck.
Well, he's a businessman.
That's right.
He'll package anything and ship it to him for $500.
I don't want it. Oh.
By side.
Where are
my
Judy Garland, that I happen to work with. It was a delightful time to work with Judy.
The Yellow Brick Road and Munchkin Land.
I love you.
I love you.